Welcome to Morning Soap. At Fusion Church, our desire is to see everyone attend church and hear from God daily through His Word. The Bible reveals God's responses to various situations, and through daily devotions, we can reshape our thought patterns, transform our minds, and become more Christ-like. Join us here every Monday through Friday as different pastors and leaders from Fusion Church provide insightful devotions and teachings based on the day's scripture. For the current soap reading plan, visit fusionchurch.cc/soap and join us as we deepen our understanding and relationship with God.
Hey, what's going on? Thank you so much. Whether you're live on Zoom with us right now, come on my Zoom people, or you're watching later on via any of our platforms, we are so excited to have you with us today just to unpack the Word of God. We are jumping into Luke chapter 1. I'm going to be reading from the Christian Standard Bible, but just amped up that God wants to speak to us, and all He's asking is for us to approach Him with an open heart today. So listen, why don't we all pray together and open our hearts before God? Father, thank You that You want to speak to us. You want to impart timeless truth to us. So Spirit of God, I just pray, help us see what You see, help us hear what You wrote, and help us grasp from this text what it is we need for our lives today. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. 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 Incredible. It's going to be Luke chapter 1. And again, I'm reading from the Christian Standard Bible. And if you're live with us here on Zoom, I just want to give you an invitation. If you ever have any questions, throw them inside of the chat. I have no problem stopping whatever trail I'm on to answer a question. And in addition to that, love seeing the verses that stand out to you so we can go ahead and see what God is saying to you. But let's look at this. We're in Luke chapter 1, verse 1. It says, "Many have undertaken to compile a narrative about the events that have been fulfilled among us, just as the original eyewitnesses and servants of the word handed them down to us. So it has also seemed good to me, since I have carefully investigated everything from the very first, to write to you in an orderly sequence, most honorable Theophilus, so that you may know the certainty of things about which you have been instructed. In the days of King Herod of Judea, there was a priest of Abijah's division named Zechariah, his wife and daughters of Aaron, and her name was Elizabeth. Both were righteous in God's sight, living without blame according to all the commands and requirements of the Lord. But they had no children because Elizabeth could not conceive, and both of them were well along in years. When his division was on duty and he was serving as a priest before God, it happened that he was chosen by lot, according to the custom of the priesthood, to enter the sanctuary of the Lord and burn incense. At the hour of incense, the whole assembly of the people was praying outside. An angel of the Lord appeared to him, standing to the right of the altar of incense. Then Zechariah saw him. He was terrified and overcome with fear. But the angel said to him, 'Do not be afraid, Zechariah, because your prayers have been heard. Your wife Elizabeth will bear you a son, and you will name him John. There will be joy and delight for you, and many will rejoice at his birth, for he will be great in the sight of the Lord. He will never drink wine or beer. He will be filled with the Holy Spirit while still in his mother's womb. He will turn many of the children of Israel to the Lord their God, and he will go before him in sight of the power of Elijah, to turn the hearts of fathers to the children, and to the disobedient and of understanding of righteousness, to make ready for a Lord a prepared people.' 'How can I know this?' Zechariah asked the angel. 'For I am an old man, and my wife is well along in years.' The angel answered him, 'I am Gabriel, who stands in the presence of God, and I was sent to speak to you and tell you this good news. Now listen, you will become silent and unable to speak until the day these things take place, because you did not believe my words, which will be fulfilled in their proper time.' Meanwhile, the people were waiting for Zechariah, amazed that he stayed so long in the sanctuary. When he did come out, he could not speak to them. Then they realized that he had seen a vision in the sanctuary. He was making signs to them and remained speechless. When the days of his ministry were completed, he went back home. After these days, his wife Elizabeth conceived and kept herself in seclusion for 5 months. She said, 'The Lord has done this for me. He has looked with favor in these days to take away my disgrace among the people.' In the sixth month, The angel Gabriel was sent to God, or sent by God, to a town in Galilee called Nazareth, to a virgin engaged to a man named Joseph of the house of David. The virgin's name was Mary. And the angel came to her and said, "Greetings, favored woman, the Lord is with you." But she was deeply troubled by this statement, wondering what kind of greeting this could be. Then the angel told her, "Don't be afraid, Mary, for you found favor with God. Now listen, you will conceive and give birth to a son, and you'll name him Jesus. He'll be great and will be called the Son of the Most High. The Lord God will give him the throne of his father David. He will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and his kingdom will have no end." Mary asked the angel, "How could this be, since I've not had sexual relations with a man?" The angel replied to her, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. Therefore, the Holy One will be born." Holy One.
God said it. He did it.
Oh, hold on 1 second. Sorry, I forgot to turn my auto mute on, everybody. Love y'all. "Therefore, the Holy One will be born and be called the Son of God. And consider your relative Elizabeth. Even she has conceived a son in her old age and in the sixth month for her who is childless. For nothing will be impossible with God. See, I am the Lord's servant," said Mary. "May it happen to me as you have said." Then the angel left her. In those days, Mary set out and hurried to a town in the hill country of Judea, or Judah, where she entered Zechariah's house and greeted Elizabeth. When Elizabeth heard Mary's greeting, the baby inside her leaped, and Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit. Then she exclaimed with a loud cry, "Blessed are you among women, and your child will be blessed. How could this happen to me that the mother of my Lord should come to me? For you see, when the sound of your greeting reached my ears, the baby leaped for joy inside me. Blessed is she who has believed that the Lord would fulfill what he has spoken to her." Then and Mary said, "My soul magnifies the Lord. My spirit rejoices in God, my Savior, because he has looked on me with favor, on the humble condition of his servant. Surely from now on, all generations will call me blessed, because the Mighty One has done great things for me, and his name is holy. His mercy is from generation to generation on those who fear him. He has done a mighty deed with his arm. He has scattered the proud because of the thoughts of their hearts. He has toppled the mighty from their thrones, exalted the lowly. He has sacrificed the hungry with good th or satisfied the hungry with good things, sent the rich away empty. He has helped his servant Israel remember his mercy to Abraham, his descendants forever, just as he spoke to our ancestors." Mary stayed with her about 3 months, and she returned to her home. Now the time had come for Elizabeth to give birth, and she had a son. Then her neighbors and relatives heard that the Lord had shown his great mercy, and they rejoiced with her. When they came to circumcise the child on the eighth day, they were going to name him Zechariah after his father. But his mother responded, "No, he will be called John." Then they said to her, "None of your relatives have that name." So they motioned to his father to find out what he wanted him to be called. And he asked for a writing tablet and wrote, "His name is John." And they were all amazed. Immediately, his mouth was opened, his tongue was set free, and he began to speak, praising God. Fear came on all those who lived around them, and all these things were being talked about throughout the hill country of Judea. All who heard about him took it to heart, saying, "When will this child, what then will this child become? For indeed the Lord's hand was with him." Then his father Zechariah was filled with the Holy Spirit and prophesied, "Blessed is the Lord, the God of Israel, because he has visited and provided redemption for his people. He has raised up a horn of salvation for us in the house of the servant David, just as he spoke by the mouth of his holy prophets in ancient times, salvation from our enemies and from the hand of those who hate us. He has dealt mercifully with our ancestors and remembered his holy covenant, the oath that he swore to our father Abraham, to grant that we have, having been rescued from the hands of our enemies, would serve him without fear in holiness and righteousness in the presence of all our days. And you, child, will be called a prophet of the Most High, for you will go before the Lord to prepare his ways, to give his people knowledge of salvation through the forgiveness of their sins, because our God's merciful compassion, the dawn from on high, will visit us to shine on those who live in darkness and the shadow of death, to provide our feet into the way of peace." The child grew up and became strong in spirit, and he was in the wilderness until the day of his public appearance to Israel. Hey, congratulations. I almost said you read 80 verses today. If you didn't read along, you listened to 80 verses, but it's okay. You got 80 verses of the Bible today. Come on, somebody. How exciting is that? That might be more Bible than some people read in a month. So listen, give yourself a pat on the back, a little round of applause for yourself. So exciting. That's Luke chapter 1. Let me just get a little bit of caffeine in my system, and we are going to break down verses 1 through 4. So a little bit of context behind the text. The book of Luke is actually split up into two books. Maybe something you didn't know, the book of Luke and the book of Acts, both authored by Luke, were written to be intended to be one book. If you read the intro of Acts, the intro of Acts starts to talk about when Luke is writing to Theophilus. He's speaking like in the prior account. Something to just know, Luke, when he wrote out his gospel, he was writing on what would be a papyrus scroll. And these scrolls were approximately like 30 to 35 feet in length. And as he's writing on this scroll, he ran out of room. Dead serious. Filled up the whole scroll. And all I could think is, it makes sense because Luke just wrote an 80-verse chapter to kick off his book. Come on now, right? So he fills up this entire 35-foot scroll. And right after that, he says, all right, well, we still have more to write about. It's called the Book of Acts. And then next thing you know, he moves on to the next scroll and writes out the Book of Acts. So I always find it so interesting that sometimes we look at these things and we look at chapters, we look at verses, and we think it's God. I want to tell you, hey, there are people's fingerprints that are on here that the Lord used. And if people's fingerprints are all over this beautiful book called the Bible, the Word of God, and God used them, why can't God use you? And some would say, hey, Luke, in all of your writing and all of your everything, you couldn't get it on one scroll. I want to share with you, just for you, it may not always look perfect in your life. It may not always be the way that you would hope it would be. Maybe you got a little bit OCD in your life. Come on, where are my OCD people at? I'll tell you what, I only have OCD with certain things. There are certain things in my life that's just like, ooh, I can't have it. But I'll tell you what, in the midst of preference, in the midst of what we like, God can still use us to lift up his name, show people who Jesus is. So this book, Luke and Acts, split into two purely because he ran out of room. Come on, thank you, Luke, for all the detail. And just something to note, Luke himself, and the book of Luke is known as the comprehensive gospel. So each gospel is known for something different. Matthew is really known as the gospel to the Jewish people, to lift up and show the Jews of the time that Jesus was the Messiah. So Matthew uses a little more of Jewish tradition, a little more of like Jewish language and lingo to really speak to the Jews on showing Jesus inside of their own context. Right after that, Mark has this incredible way of showing Jesus on the go. So Mark, it's called Mark because Mark penned it. However, Mark got all of his information by sitting next to the bedside of Peter. So the Mark, in many ways, is Peter's gospel penned by Mark. And it's known as Jesus on the Go because it was really written to the Roman people. It was written to Gentiles. And ironically enough, even though Peter was an apostle to the Jews, he was still writing to this entire gospel to people who generally wouldn't have known about the Jewish faith, wouldn't have known about Jesus, and just wanted to show his goodness in a little more of a condensed manner. I love the book of Mark because I am a guy on the go and I get to look at Jesus on the go in addition to that. Come on, somebody. And then we look at John. John is the theology behind Jesus. If you just want to know who Jesus is, the book of John is the best place to go. And then you have Luke. Luke wasn't necessarily writing to, let's just say, a broad audience like the other, like Matthew and Mark. He was writing a comprehensive account for anyone that would look at it. And his doctor nature is seen in the details that he records, making sure he gets as many of his facts right as he can. But what I find so incredible is I wonder when Luke was writing this gospel account, that he knew it would be used thousands of years later by you and I today, reading his work of the account of who Jesus was, how he got here, the account of John the Baptist, how he got here and his origins. And I think that's so incredible because it's a legacy. Because we look at the verses 1 through 4, and we see, as he's writing, it's like many have undertaken to compile a narrative about the events that have been fulfilled among us. Eyewitnesses have seen it, servants of the word handed them down to us. I love this. So it seemed good to me, since I've carefully investigated everything from the very first, to write to you in orderly sequence. You see, this book right here, the book of Luke, is Luke's legacy. It's the thing that he would pass on to us. It's the thing he would pass on to the church. And I think some of us at times don't even know how our gifts could be used to pass on Jesus to people. Because Luke, I'll tell you what, I'm not a Luke guy. Let me just say, I mean, I love the book of Luke, but I don't relate to Luke very well. I'm a bullet points guy. I'm not the detail-oriented guy. Come on, is there anyone with me? Like, if you text me, send it in bullet points. Come on now, right? Some folks literally know this. If it's a long paragraph, I start skimming and I feel bad. It's not that I don't love value. Please know my heart. It's just I'm a bullet points guy. And it's like I look at the book of Luke and I think, wow, Luke, you had a really amazing gift that you used to glorify Jesus and pass on his name to people. Well, guess what? You may not have the same gift that Luke has, but please hear me, Fusion Church. You have a gift that God wants to use to point people to Jesus. And this was the legacy that Luke would use to pass down who Jesus was. And he would show through his work who Jesus was and what Jesus would be known for after he was gone. So, my question for you today, as we are pressing in, diving in together, is what do you want to be known for after you're gone? Because here we mostly know Luke. If it wasn't for the book of Luke and the book of Acts, we would have no idea who this guy is. Think about it. We'd be sitting here probably reading another book, another chapter, and unpacking together. Yet he was obedient to God in writing the scriptures. And of course, it's God breathed. The Holy Spirit's fingerprints are all over it. But he's known today for his obedience to God. So my question is this for you. What do you want to be known for after you're gone? When you're no longer here, what do you want people to know about your life and who you were? And I want to tell you the number one answer to this question, because I had to do some research and figure it out. The number one answer to this question is very simply this: being a good person. Come on, where are my people at? I just don't want to freak out when I have to wait too long at the DMV. Come on now. Come on, Fusion Church, talk to me. You know, I want to be polite. I want to hold the door, right? We want to be loyal, kind, caring. Like we have all these different things that we want to be, and we have these characteristics. And I would say we could probably all think of someone in our life that is no longer here today that we can positively speak about, that when we think of them, they leave a positive taste in our mouth, their memory is pleasant. And all these things are good, but I almost want to bring a challenge to you today. In us and having a legacy in our own life, how people will remember us when we are gone. My challenge is this: our legacy, really, I think our goal is to be 100% sold out and hopelessly devoted to Jesus. And I mean, he has everything of us. You know, I contemplated when I was putting the soap together this morning, I said, you know, it's 80 verses. And I was thinking about skimming and breaking down. And then I stopped and thought, we're going to press into all 80 verses. We're going to read them all. And this is because we're going to go 100% sold out and devoted to him today. And we're just going to make space for him today. So I want to ask you, inside of your life, where you're at today, come on, let's talk surrender, right? Where are my freedom people at? My people in freedom groups. Listen, we've talked about this pretty much the past 2 weeks, Vessel of Honor. We're doing worship this week in that topic. Worship is about that surrendering, giving to him having the first place. But my question for you is this: as we get 100% devoted to Christ, what does it look like for me to surrender something to Jesus today? To say, God, you can truly have it all. I'm not going to hold anything back from you. I'm not going to white knuckle it anymore. This the right the habit, the hurt, the hang up, the things that are in my life that is no longer need to be holding on to, because I know you want to do more in my life than I even see or comprehend right now. But what it takes is for me to be like Luke and let go and say, God, do with my life what you will. We have one of our elders inside of Fusion Church named Pastor John. Pastor John is like the OG, like, I'll tell you what, he's like a father figure to me. He had pastored full-time vocationally for 40 years, ran the good race. He retired, and rather than sailing off into the sunset and going to Hawaii and putting his feet up and sipping from a coconut, he decided that he was going to continue investing into the kingdom of God and the local church. And that's exactly what he did to give back to the kingdom. And I was asking him the other day, I said, so how long have you been in ministry? And he was like, you want the working years or the volunteer years included? And I said, how many hours a week are the volunteer hours? And it's like, man, dude's a full-time pastor, retired. I love this man. He has goals in my life. And Pastor John said something to me a while back, and I wanted to share with the Ephesian Church. It marked my life. It changed my life. And he said he doesn't want to get before Jesus one day and only had given 99%. And I stopped, and all I thought was, Pastor John, I'm just trying not to lose it some days. Come on now, where are my people at? Right? I'm just trying to hold it together. Like, and hey, come on, can we be honest with each other, Future Church? There's some of those days I'm just trying not to fight with my spouse today. Like, the temperature's hot in the home, right? Come on, where are we at? Talk to me. It's like there are some days like I'm just trying not to have a sinful thought, right? And it's like I don't want to get to Jesus, not give it 99%. The challenge is there though, and there's this beauty and reality that there's always something to surrender to Jesus. In the same way, Galatians 2:20 says, "I have been crucified with Christ. I no longer live, but Christ in me." When the Apostle Paul writes that in Galatians 2:20, I'm so inspired because it tells me that I can be crucified with Christ, and it's no longer I who live, but it's Christ in me. What this means is that it is Jesus, 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 and that all it is, it's all it is that's in me and flows through me. And it's like, God, whatever I have to give you today, to lay myself on the altar today, to leave a legacy of you and you alone inside of the lives of people. God, will you give me the grace to show people who you are? Come on, somebody, right? So my question, my challenge, what do you want to be known for after you're gone? And in addition to that, the challenge is this: hey, would you just be known for someone who is totally 100% devoted, sold out, hopelessly passionate about Jesus? To say, God, you can have absolutely everything, and I'm not holding back from you anymore, right? Because I want to tell you, God will do more with one person 100% devoted to him than 100 people 99% devoted to him. So come on, let's push over that 100%. Please hear me. I'm not talking about perfection today, right? We're not talking about perfect, but what we're talking about is my whole heart, right? I'm talking about you can have it all, God. Because we're not talking about keeping it like you're not Jesus, I'm not Jesus. Guess what? But at the same time, the Holy Spirit wants to give us something special to live like him here in the land of living. So come on, what legacy you want to leave? Let's check out verses 5 through 25. 20 whole verses. Inside of this passage right here, I'm going to do my best to break it down. Inside of here, we are introduced to Zechariah and Elizabeth. So Zechariah is a priest, Elizabeth is his wife, and they're both a little bit older. They're a little more advanced in age. Come on, somebody, right? We are using the politically correct terms today. They're not old, they're just advanced. And inside of their advancedness, they had no children, and since they were advanced, they were no longer able to conceive. And inside of the cultural context of the day, Elizabeth would have been seen as a disgrace before people. And for her, this would have been a mark against her. You know, that's one of those things that she'd be walking through the town. Some of the folks would lean over to her and would say, can you believe she was never able to get pregnant? It was held as a disgrace. And it really is a shame, you know, because the idea was Elizabeth. In that cultural context, please hear me, it's just cultural context. In that day, the wives were to have children to carry on the name of the family. And it's tough because here's Elizabeth carrying shame about, please hear me, something she can't control. And that breaks my heart. However, here's what amazes me. As Elizabeth would have been broken over this, as Elizabeth would have struggled and battled every single day, not being able to have a child of her own and being a disgrace before people. And not that she should have been a disgrace, but that's how it was. Here she is battling every single day. Yet God saw her in the middle of her pain, in the middle of her prayers, in the middle of her petitions to the Lord. The Lord saw her. And in all of that, God gave her a child. I think that's so special that inside of our pain, come on, Fusion Church, inside of our moments, inside of the things that torment our soul, inside of the when we're in the workplace and they just don't stop talking, come on, in the family parties, and it's like it's just so difficult to even be present. Come on now, right? There is a way that God gives favor and love in those moments. He says, I'm going to wrap my arms around you in the difficult moments of life. And there's purpose inside of the pain. And what we see is, as they're in the middle of the pain before God answers the prayers, Zechariah is called on to go to the temple to minister. So lots would be cast. Pretty much, it's like a gambling. It's like a lottery system to choose different divisions of priests to go into the sanctuary and minister. Just to kind of share with you, the majority of priests would never enter the sanctuary to minister there inside of their priestly careers. Please hear me. The majority of them would not. So for Zechariah to have the privilege of going into the sanctuary ministering was really incredible. And his name gets called, his division gets called, and he finds himself in there, and he's doing what he does, ministering to the Lord, burning incense. And while the people are praying outside and he is inside, the angel of the Lord appears to him. And I always love when angels appear, they open up with, do not be afraid. It tells me we would probably be a little afraid if an angel showed up. And he sits there and he starts prophesying that he's going to have a son. And the son, as we would know, is John the Baptist or John the Baptizer, the fiery prophet in the wilderness. And John the Baptizer, would be these attributes right here. He'll be great in the sight of the Lord. He'll never drink wine or beer. He'll be filled with the Holy Spirit in his mother's womb. He's going to turn many of the children of Israel to the Lord their God. He will go before them in spirit and the power of Elijah, turn the hearts of fathers to the children, disobedient to the understanding of the righteousness, make ready for the Lord's prepared people. And right after this moment, Zechariah, who I imagine his jaw is sitting on the floor, because I think you and I would have been completely and totally and utterly surprised. And he's sitting there and he's like, what the heck is going on? And Gabriel looks at him and says, you're going to be silent until he gets here. Basically, I don't want you saying anything to mess this up. And in addition to that, I'm going to build your faith in such a way that it will blow your mind. And I find this so inspiring. You see, because as I read this, all I can think is inside of his old age, or, oh, I'm sorry, in his advanced state, he finds himself ministering, doing what he knows, doing his job. He stayed inside of the cycle of what he knew, and yet God showed up inside of the moment. And I want to tell you, you don't know when God is going to show up in the moment for the thing you've been praying and believing for. You may sit there for days, months, years, and weeks, just like Zechariah and Elizabeth did. And I want to tell you, it's very easy to lose hope. The easy thing is to lose hope, to say, I'm no longer going to pray the prayer. I'm no longer going to believe God. But I want to tell you, here is this man saying, Lord, I know I've burned incense for this before, but here I am again. Lord, I know I prayed this prayer before, but here I am again. And praying the same prayer, praying the same prayer, praying the same prayer, praying the same prayer. God, could I have a child? And maybe your prayer isn't a child. Maybe your prayer is, Lord, I've been praying for this healing. Lord, I've been praying for this provision. God, I don't know what it is about these storms in my life, but I need some breakthrough. I want to tell you, the breakthrough comes often when we least expect it. And it shows up in ways that we often never expect as well. Because here's Zechariah, I guarantee, never expecting Gabriel to show up inside of the temple while he's there. He is doing his priestly duties. And yet here he is finding himself in an angelic visitation. And I want to tell you, you never know when the visitation is coming in your moment. That moment of breakthrough you've been praying for. Listen, please hear me, Fusion Church. That could be right around the corner and you don't even know it. This is why we don't lose hope. This is why we pray with expectancy. And what we do in the in-between, please hear me, we find peace and contentment inside of the presence of Jesus until the breakthrough gets here. And we just say, God, I'm going to hold on to you and you alone. And Lord, if it never comes, you're still worthy and you're still good anyway. But God showed up, brought the breakthrough. And when he brought the breakthrough, as we see the statement from Elizabeth herself, as she conceives, it says, the Lord has done this. He looked with favor in these days to take away my disgrace among people. You see, her disgrace was only among people. It was not among God. Because inside of this area, there is no pain that is wasted before Jesus. So she sits here, and now she sits on the other side of a breakthrough, and then out of her would come John the Baptist. That when she would meet Mary, who Mary, being pregnant with the Son of God, Jesus, John the Baptist, would leap for joy inside of the womb of Elizabeth, confirming who Jesus was, showing her that God was on the move inside of the both of them. And then out of Elizabeth's womb would be born this man who would prepare the way for Jesus before Jesus's public ministry comes on display. So all of this to say, you might be sitting there praying and waiting. You might be sitting in the middle of a wilderness. You may be sitting and feeling, wondering when it's going to rain for you. You might be wondering when the peace is going to come, when the joy is going to come, when the breakthrough will show up. It's been so long. I've been praying and praying and praying. I'm just waiting for my kids to give their life to Jesus. Come on. I'm covering my child now inside of that prayer. Lord, would you apprehend his heart and his mind? Maybe your prayer is for the husband, the spouse, God. Would you apprehend their heart, right? Especially as we go into Mother's Day again, national, bring your husband to church day. Come on. Lord, apprehend his heart. God, would you do something bigger? God, I'm believing you for the job. I'm not even asking for supernatural checks. I'm just asking for the job so I can put my hands to something and work and pay the bills. God, I'm just waiting for the breakthrough. And I want to tell you, so often God wants to bring a breakthrough, but we think it's going to come in a level that's down here, but he wants to bring in a level that's up here. And he says, I want to do, as Ephesians 3:20 says, more than we could ask, think, or imagine. And that just takes obedience to him and say, God, I'm going to occupy the in-between. Know that my pain isn't wasted. I'm going to be faithful to you because I'm 100% sold out, hopelessly devoted to you, Jesus, because it's not about me, but it's about your glory and your goodness being seen here in the land of the living. Come on, somebody. So, my challenge and encouragement for you today, hey, what do you want to be known for after you're gone? What's the legacy that you want left through your life? Is it to point people to Jesus? Is it to accumulate as much as you can here on this earth? Or is it just pointing people to the goodness of who God is? In addition to that, hey, I want to encourage you, no pain is wasted. There's not a moment of prayer, not a moment of tears that's wasted when it's given to Christ. But God wants to honor every tear, honor every prayer you pray, and wants to show up inside of your life in ways that you could hardly even imagine. All right, come on. Let me pray for you, Fusion Church. Father, thank you. Lord, I'm so grateful for each and every individual that's pressing into you today. Holy Spirit, I just pray that you would give us eyes to see you, ears to hear you, and God, help us know what to surrender, what to release, what to hand over to you, to be devoted to you. And God, I'm just so grateful that you are Jehovah Perazim, the Lord our breakthrough. That wants to show up inside of our lives. So, Lord, I just pray, give us grace to occupy the in-between, to show up in our lives and to see you moving. And God, give us tenacity and perseverance to keep pressing in, to keep leaning in until we see the day of our breakthrough. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. 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 All right, y'all. God bless you. Have a great day.